Hello, my name is Father Alejandro Puello, and this is my reflection for the 21st Sunday of Ordinary Time. At the heart of a lot of what makes us human, there is always a question that we're answering about ourselves and about others. It's, who are you? We answer that question many ways. We give answer to that question by the way we act, by the way we treat that person, the place they occupy in our lives, constantly. It's the first thing that we're doing when someone, when we meet someone new. We're trying to determine who exactly are you. It's also why in our moments of greatest despair, or in our moments after we've reflected on our greatest mistakes, we say things like, that wasn't me, or that wasn't like me, or that's not like him. We're expressing that there's a dissonance between who we thought the person was and what their actions and who their actions say they are, who their intentions say they are. This question is at the heart of every relationship, and it can completely redefine, completely transform all that we are and all that we will become. It's at the root of the thing that the devil attacks, our sense of identity. It's why the question that he uses on Jesus in the desert is, if you are the Son of God, fill in the blank. He's attacking identity. It's the same thing that is happening whenever we're presented with a temptation. It's attacking our identity. Who does God say I am? Who do I say I am? Who do I say God is for me, or and so on. So in the gospel this weekend, we get to see Jesus ask, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And the answers are telling. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. This is telling because this is what we do with ourselves and with a lot of people. We say, I see you, and the parts of you that I see and think I understand look very similar to other people I've dealt with before. So instead of dealing with the person as an individual whom I should discern about, instead we go, oh, you fit this category that I've already dealt with before. I won't look deeper than the surface. I already know how to deal with you because I've already dealt with you in another form. So the equivalent of what they're saying, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets, is the equivalent of saying any religion is equivalent. Jesus just Buddha. Jesus just my horoscope. Jesus is just like Muhammad. It's this thing in which, instead of actually discerning and looking at who the person really is and therefore dealing with them for who they really are, we allow ourselves to just deal with them in some general category. Why? This is why relationships tend towards definition. What are we? when a couple is dating, eventually the question is, what are we? Right? The more definition the relationship has, the more boundaries there are, but also the more blessings and responsibilities and privileges and joys and difficulties there are. one does not go without the other. So what a lot of us do is we try to leave the relationship as hazy as possible so that we can move in and out of any definition of who that person is for us and play with it. But there's a problem. The problem is that we don't discover who we really are, and we're not transformed in any way that's healthy and good, holy and positive and wholesome without clearly seeing and clearly dealing with each individual in our life for who they really are and affording them the place in our life that according to the truth of who they are. If I treat Jesus just like another John the Baptist, then he's not God incarnate. He has no claim over me. If I treat Jesus as another Elijah, or as another Jeremiah, or as one of the prophets, then I am not, if my actions, my decisions, my intentions, my charity all point to me dealing with the Lord, me saying that Jesus is just another one of many other things that seem good at their surface, but I have not fully explored, then inevitably that relationship will break down. Not only will it break down, but I will never get to the point where that relationship actually transforms me and others. This is why Peter begins as Simon. You see, Simon has been paying attention to this Jesus. So when Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" he's the only one that has the guts to say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You see, when we put God in the place he deserves in our life and we treat him as our God, as truly God, as having a claim of authority over us, as having perfect will, as loving us perfectly and desiring for what is good for us perfectly, then something amazing happens. What does Jesus do? He says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it." What is being revealed to us here is we don't know who we are, because a lot of our relationships are not very clearly defined and are not even defined often by an objective reality about who the person is, including our relationship with Jesus. We're content to have Jesus as something less than God. So that way, the commandments are suggestions. The rituals are just niceties and not part and parcel of the relationship. And the sacraments are just celebrations and not real intimacy with God. These things, all of a sudden, because we have not properly assessed that Jesus really is the Son of the living God, God incarnate himself, with power and authority and a claim on us, on our attention, our time, our talents, our life, because they all come from him and are given to us for a purpose, then not only do I not know who this Jesus is, and by acting differently and treating him differently, I don't even know who I am yet. You see, Peter could easily have been just Peter the fisherman. He doesn't even begin to discover that he is Simon the fisherman. He doesn't even discover that he is Peter, the rock upon which God will build his church, until he finally puts Jesus at the center of his life. He clearly has he's pegged the relationship correctly. And we know this. We know this from basic experience. What happens if you treat your spouse as your roommate? How long before the divorce comes? What happens if you treat your children as though they are the head of the household? How long before they become tyrants? You see, when we define people and we define a relationship not according to the truth of who we each are, and therefore given each other the right place in each other's lives, what ends up happening is we leave a huge part of us open to the death and destruction of sin, the confusion of sin, the malevolence of sin. And a lot of the things that we can claim are love are not actually love, because love depends on what? Love is the seeking of the good of the other. But it's impossible to define what's good for the other when you don't know who they are. If you treat your loved ones, if you treat other people without properly assessing who they are, you can't love them. It would be the equivalent of walking into the doctor's office with, and you give him a file for a patient that is not you, a patient that sort of looks like you, that same height, same eye color, same first name. And if all he does is glances at the very, he just glances at the page, he'll think it's you. But then what happens when he then prescribes a medicine you are allergic to, but the person on the file was not? You see, this is why it's so important to get to the heart of who each person is, so that we can actually assess what their needs are, what good God is calling us to serve in their life. But if I deal with some caricature of that other person, including the Savior of humanity, then that relationship will not only not change me, but almost certainly guarantee that my mishandling of and misjudging of who that person is going to bring a mess into my life and into the lives of others. So my challenge to you today is simple. Go back to prayer and ask yourself, who do my actions, intentions, charity, love, forgiveness, treatment of my neighbor, and prayer life say as an answer to the question that Jesus poses today to me and to everyone? Who do you say that I am? Am I just one of many things competing for your attention, life, and devotion? Or am I the source of your hope? Does your charity say that I am your God? Does your love say I am your God? Does your discernment say I am your God? Do your intentions say I am really Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, whom you should worship and adore? What do my actions say? Who do my actions say Jesus is? That is a real challenge. God bless.